Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to this week's share. This week's share is sponsored Lezichron Nishmas Moshe Baruch Ben Chaim Elazar, whose yahrzeit is this week, sponsored by the Lichtman family. It's Harvey's father, and the neshama should have an aliyah. Amen. Not just from the learning that takes place inside this room, but from all the people that listen to the share. After last week's share, it seems I actually got quite a few phone calls, messages from people all over listening to the share. I got a few other good stories about Gideon, about Rabbi Lehrfeld. Perhaps I'll share that at a later time. Today's share, I'm getting into the mood of Yontif. With Yontif Shavuos coming basically a week from today. Next week, we hope to have a share also. It'll be Erev Shavuos, Erev Yontif. But I figured, why not start already this week? Now, in terms of the actual halachos of Shavuos, obviously in a contrast to the Yontif of Pesach, the Yontif of Sukkot, there you have so many halachos to learn. Halachos of Pesach, Isirei Chametz, Mitzvahs Halayla, Matzah, Maror, Dal Kosos, Seba. There's so much doing by Pesach. There's a lot of halachos to learn. Sukkah, all Hilchos Sukkah. Oh, wow. Many of them quite complicated. Dal Minim. You have a lot to learn. Chazal in fact say, Shloshim Yom Kol Machag. What are you going to learn about before our Shavuos? You know, I remember Rabbi Sharfman's giving Shurim about how to split up your meal. You're going to have the cheesecake first. You know, your meat meal second. Should you have meat second? Okay, we have an assortment of varieties of cheesecake and meat Shurim. But aside from that, what are the big halachas you're learning about on Shavuos? So I think the Yontif of Shavuos is the perfect time to talk about the halachas of Yontif. Actually, I remember when I was in Kollel. So usually, young Kollel couples would go away for Pesach, they'd go away for Sukkot. The first real Yontif that they were home, many of them, okay, you could say Rosh Hashanah too, but I remember I was an older Kollel guy in the yeshiva. I used to get hounded all these halacha questions the younger Kollel people would ask, because it's the first Yontif they're spending home. They don't know what could they do with this, with that. So, you know, Hilchos Yontif is important to learn. And people sometimes mistake, you know, Yontif, Shabbos, it's all the same. Obviously, we know there's a heter for Ochel Nefesh, and thus Yontif is dramatically different than Hilchos Shabbos, at least in that area. But in many other areas, obviously, there are major similarities between Shabbos and Yontif halachas. So really, this year, I'm calling Hachana for Yontif, but we could apply, we'll soon see, many of the halachas for Shabbos too. Both Shabbos and Yontif both have an Isser of Hachana. I came across at least one nice variable of difference. But a practical difference between the Isser Hachana, the Isser of preparing things on Shabbos versus the Isser of Hachana on Yontif, is just practically we're allowed to do more things on Yontif than on Shabbos. You're allowed to cook on Yontif. So the Isser Hachana usually has more flavors, more manifestations, more ways that we could get involved with it. There's so much going on Shabbos. Okay, by the time Shabbos comes, your chont's up. What more do you need to do? Yontif, which is cooking, Memela also enters us to areas where there are issues of Hachana, of preparing things now, which are not being used right now, but really for later. So I would like today to go through the Isser of Hachana and we'll go through the parameters of the Isser. We'll go through issues of when you could do things after the Zman of Yontif or Shabbos. And one big topic I want to get to towards the end is a particular case of Hachana, especially involving cooking, when you're cooking raw, or even more than raw, frozen foods. When could you take frozen foods out of the freezer? Very relevant for Hilchos Yontif. So let's begin. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Hayim, Simen Tav Kuf Gimel, it's there on your sheets. The Mechaber writes, right, the title of the Simen is Shlo Hachim Yontif L'Chavera. You shouldn't prepare from Yontif. L'Chavera doesn't mean your friend per se, but it means more L'Chavera to another day. Asala afos olavashal, it's also to bake or to cook, olishkot or to shech, be yomtif on yomtif, it's tzorech machar for tomorrow. What's tomorrow? Afilu Shabbos, even if tomorrow is Shabbos, you're going from yomtif to Shabbos, ol yomtif, or you're going from one yomtif to another day of yomtif. Over here in Galias, we have such problems. Va'afil b'shnei yamim shel Rosh Hashanah, or even the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, all these times it will be 100% usur to do something on day one that you're not going to need till day two. So practically speaking, this Yontif of Shavuos, right, Yontif falls out Sunday night. So obviously Sunday day is Erev Yontif, but it's a whole day. We're lucky we escaped without a 3-day Yontif. Shabbos is beforehand. So obviously on Sunday you could do all the preparations you want up until the Zman for Yontif. The issue we're talking about is on Monday, where you want to prepare for the Monday night meal, for the Tuesday day meal. If you do that on Monday, you fall into a problem of Hachana. You're preparing from one day of Yontif for another day of Yontif. The second day of Yontif, don't we know, is more kal, right? In terms of refuah, person's not feeling well, taking medicine. There are a lot of areas we do find, there are areas, we do find the Yontif Sheni is more permissible than the first day of Yontif. Only keeping it here, Eretz Yisrael, at least the people that live there, don't keep it. So why is there still a problem of Hachana? And to that, we see from the Mechaber, yes. It doesn't matter that Yontif Sheni is an issue only over here in Galus. Nevertheless, here, you look at the Mishnah Berurah and Gimel, just say it out first. He says, Ratzalomar Yontif Sheni Shel Galus. You can't prepare from one day of Yontif for the second day, the Yontif Sheni of Galus. Disavicholhu, because it could be it's Yontif. In that case, look, on the tzad it really is Yontif. Okay, so I'm cooking for Yontif. What's the problem? The problem, I'm preparing for Yontif. The problem is that it's Suffolk Chol Tuesday, right? The second day of Yontif, is it sad to say it's not really Yontif? Suffolk Chol. V'nimsa meichin mi Yontif l'chol. One is not allowed to prepare from Yontif to Chol. Just like every Shabbos, you can't prepare on Shabbos for Motzi Shabbos. You can't prepare, obviously, for Sunday. So too, you can't prepare from one day of Yontif to the second day of Yontif, because is it sad that the second day of Yontif really is a day of Chol? Thus, one can't prepare. So practically speaking, come Monday, one would not be able, from the Mechaber, shows me, we can't do any malacha. Can't do malacha today, you're going to need for tomorrow. Now, if we just had the Mechaber, okay, that means I can't cook for today, for tomorrow. Now, there is a concept, if you're cooking anyway today and just adding the leftovers would be for tomorrow, okay, that's Hilchos Yontov, that would be okay. But we're talking specifically cooking, specifically shechting, baking for tomorrow, that would not be allowed on Monday, the first day of Yontov. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah and he adds a whole other dimension, which makes, I guess one might say, more problems for us. Okay? Let's look at the first Mishnah Berurah. The Mechaber just wrote, it's usher to bake, to cook, and to shecht. Each one of those actions is a full-fledged malacha. The Mishnah Berurah adds, v'afilu davar she'ina malacha, even something which is not a malacha, rach tircha ba'alma, it's just a certain bother. You go on hadachas karos, washing off the dishes. Right? In the olden days, before they had fancy plasticware, people used to use china, right? Yeah. Some of you might know of this, right? People used china, people used real non-disposable kalem, and there might be a need, people would want to wash it. So, this ancient example that the Mishnah Berurah brings is one would not be allowed to wash the dishes from day one for day two. Even though that's not a malacha, all it is a tircha, it's a certain, you know, bother, but you can't do something like that for tomorrow. V'avos yaymer of yontav l'chavera. You can't bring wine from one day of Yontif that's only going to be used the next day. Gamkin also, commotion in Zvar, so Simon Tafri Saman Zayin, Vayin Shamash Shkasapazah. So, the Chavetz Chaim is adding a pretty major step. Anything which is a tircha, gave an example of washing dishes. That itself would also be a problem of Hachana. So I can't wash the dishes on Monday, so I'll have clean dishes for Monday night. Really, according to this, Mishnah Berurah, what a person would have to do is wait until after the second day of Yontif begins, second night of Yontif, and then wash them then. This is definitely a good reason why, you know, one of the last things people want to do, really preparing for Yontif, in general, you can't cook, right, for the second days until after the Zman. You have to wait. Huh?
And rinse them off? Not clear. Just pour them on so it's not so sticky.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. You could put them in your sink and, you know, make sure to wash lots of negelwasser on it. But you're right. It's a good question you're asking. And there's what exactly is the tircha of washing? Is it just the simple act of pouring the water on it? No, it's probably more the scrubbing and getting off the grime. It's worse. But no. Men might say, you know, anything dealing with dirty dishes is a tircha, even putting the water on them, right? Yeah, somehow men have slippery fingers when it comes to like washing dishes, you know, they drop a few. But isn't that the advice they give by Wal Shavar Brachos? Yes.
Just a quick question. The Romans
noticed
the absence of this.
The who? Yeah. No. Yeah. It's not just the Ramah that's missing, it's the rest of the Mechaber. It wasn't relevant to this point. So. Yes, no. And really this point the Mishnah Berurah is bringing up. It's not even the Mechaber. But the Mishnah Berurah is bringing up that one would really have to wait until after the first day of Yontif is complete to wash dishes for day two. At the same time, a woman in the kitchen is busy cooking for day two. So there's a lot going on. So I'm not getting a kickback from all the new, you know, all the Jewish, you know, plastic plate companies. But there is a good reason why the plastic plate business is booming. Practically speaking, it's a very, you know.
They're very
crushable
plastic plates.
Right.
They're beautiful.
Exactly. Once they have these fancy plastic plates, it really is a type of thing which saves people in the kitchen a lot of work.
They're not going to hold it against you for shit out for your kid.
You're right.
Like a plastic table.
Right? It used to be, right, people would ask the question on Shaduchim, do you use to eat on plastic plates? But nowadays, it's a milah. They're looking, they want their daughter to marry into a family, which is, you know, unlimited supply of fancy paper goods. It's a milah. But if your wife doesn't yet use them, it's a nice yontif gift. Go buy some nice plastic, fancy plastic. Okay. So that's one example. I did find, though, what would you say about this? Now, Rabbi, if you tell me, not only can't I do malacha from day one to day two, I also can't do any tircha, anything which is a bother, from day one to day two. Right? So practically speaking, you find this also in shuls, right? What happens after Shalosh Shuddos? Do they bust the table? Do they clean the tables? Most of the time the answer is no, unless they need that space to daven, that's maybe a different story. But normally, right, what goes on in shuls, they keep the stuff there. Why? It's part of the hachana. You're preparing for after Shabbos. Right now, it's not needed. Again, assuming there's space in the shul to daven elsewhere. So they leave it on the tables. But what about the perishables? There are many things. You finish a suda, you're not going to need it now. Is one allowed to put away the perishables? Or you say, no, leave it on the table. Huh? Baltashkas. Right? So, Lamaisa, I found, it's a Mishabura. That this one is not on your sheets. It's in Tufrei Samach Zayin, Sifkatan Hay. That there the Mishabura qualifies even further. The only time Tircha is a problem is Tircha where you're not really gaining something, fixing something by that Tircha. Obviously, you're gaining because you're washing the dishes. But if there's a hefsid, for example, the perishable food will spoil, then one would be allowed to put that away. Okay? So that means after you finish your meals, whatever perishables it is, seemingly even by Shalosh Shuddos, if that's something which practically will be used, so then one would be allowed to put that away for another time. That's okay. So far we got that there's an iser v'achana, not just the malacha, also on things which involve tircha, washing dishes, iser hachana of bringing a bottle of wine, which is only going to be used tomorrow. Tricky thing. Mishnah Berurah goes through a few steps in that. Another spot. But what about this? Am I allowed to do hachana for a mitzvah? I don't need this now, but I'm going to do preparation for a mitzvah. We have some gabayim sitting here. I'm not going to let them scream out the answer. But would we be allowed to roll the Sefer Torah for tomorrow? Right, that's for a mitzvah. We're going to have Kriya Satara. A lot of times, you can have the Kriya from day one to day two is far apart. Yeah. You're not coming here for Ma'ariv tonight. There's no time to do it after Ma'ariv. Right? Especially you think, you know, like the night of the Seder. You don't have time to go roll it for tomorrow. So what do? Okay, there are some shuls that have, you know, unlimited Sifrei Torah. So you have them lined up, the good gabbai, Erev Yontif, you know, day one laning, day two laning, you know, mincha in between, all of them have their signs on it. So the goofy guy who does psicha doesn't mess up all the Sefer Torah. That's like the worst fear of any gabbai. Sending a guy up, you know. Right. I tell them in yeshiva, you have to ahead of time, you know, figure out the guy. You think if this guy's gonna go up to the, you know, to the parochas and like start looking the wrong way how to pull it, that's like your first sign you struck out. Right? You have to really start to get nervous. He's gonna pull out the wrong sefer Torah. There's no question about it. Right. You have to stand there, you have to give him the advice. You know, in some shuls I've even seen the strings, you know, they have one painted green, one painted red. There are many people that are colorblind. Color rush does not help them.
One side says safe side, the other one says suicide.
Yes, it's definitely what the gabbai feels. But anyway, or the guy up there after he embarrasses himself. So what happens with Sifrei Torah? Is one allowed to roll the Sefer Torah on one day of Yontif for the second day of Yontif? So the Mishnah Berurah says, as was correctly identified by Gabayim here, that is Aser. The Iser of Hachana, right? It's not a malacha to roll a Sefer Torah. It's a tircha. But it's a tircha for a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to have Kriyas Torah. It's a mitzvah to avoid tircha d'tzibura. You're going to have to roll it come, you know, there's no time to do it now. You're going to end up rolling it yontif morning. People will start kvetching. Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah brings, is his aser. I would tell you in parentheses, the Mishnah Berurah says his aser. And I think that's where we try to be noach over here in yeshiva and other places. If you're ever in a super bind, there is an Aruch HaShulchan who says a nice little heter. If you learn from the Sefer Torah when you're rolling it, then that'll be okay. Because with that little trick, you're not just using it for tomorrow, you're also using it for now. So that's one potential heter. If you're a gabbai and you get stuck and maybe your job's on the line. So there is an Aruch HaShulchan which says if you learn from it, you're okay. I'll tell you another area which just comes up on Shavuos. You know, there are many shuls, Bati Midrashim, that to get a seat, it happens here in Yeshiva, Kananahara, to get a seat on Shavuos night is prime real estate. Right, there's only X amount of seats in the Beis Medrash, and to get a seat, hoo ha! You know, we fill up here. Can you imagine what goes on in the cold down the block? Gosh, there's no room. Every little seat is taken. So what do the Chachamim do? They come beforehand, and they put out their Sfarim. They open up their Sfarim, right? The first page, you know, have their name there. You know, they'll put 10 signs reserved. Is one allowed to do that on Yontif? Let's say Erev Yontif would be Shabbos. Again, this year it's not. This year you could maybe do your Erev Yontif trick, you know, Sunday afternoon. But let's say the Erev Shavuos, let's say Shavuos came out this year on a Motzei Shabbos. So Erev Shavuos is Shabbos. Would there potentially be an Isser HaChana? Would one be allowed to save a seat? So a post can bring down, yes, it will be usher for one to save a seat. Maybe you can have the same trick with the Aruch HaShulchan, you open up your safer, you start learning from it. I don't know, a little cheesy. That's a little worse. But. So potentially you have to figure out how to save a seat with, you know, okay, this year it's Erev Yontif is Sunday, so you might be okay. Now, so far we've seen the Isra Achana is on malachas, it's on tircha, it's even by tircha of a mitzvah. Is there any difference between, I guess, doing Achana from a weekday to Shabbos is obviously mutter. That's not Achana. But from Shabbos to Yontif, or one day of Yontif to another day of Yontif, or Shabbos or Yontif to Chol, Those are all different variables of where the Isra Achana comes up. Right? Erev Yontif, you can do whatever you want if it's a regular day. But if it's Shabbos to Yontif, you have a problem. If it's Yontif to a second day of Yontif, it's a problem. If it's Shabbos or Yontif to Motzi Shabbos, Motzi Yontif, that'll be a problem. Shabbos to Chol, Yontif to Chol is a problem. Are they all equal? Is it all the same Isra V'Achana? Is there room to be Mekel and allow in one place? Pashup Shat, definitely Mashman places. Pashup Shat, it's all the same Isser. The Isser is we don't want people to prepare from one day of Shabbos Yontif to another day for Chol. Your Shabbos, your Yontif has to be totally focused on serving Hashem, not I have a big date Motzi Shabbos, I got to do these preparations. Okay, you know? L'cholzman ve'ez, tachas Hashemes. You got to do what you got to do at the right time. But I found a very interesting Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Because Rabbi Akiva Eiger could be found in the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Shin Beis. One of the things which, again, you know, you have to know how to do it or not to do it. Many people do not fold their talis after davening on Shabbos. Now, there's one issue involving if you're folding it on the creases. Okay. There's another potential issue of hachana. Of you don't need this till next Shabbos, so you're folding it for then. Now, if you go with that idea, so again, so l'chora pashup shat, if you're going from one Shabbos to the next Shabbos, one day of Yontif to the next day of Yontif, you know, you're always going to have a problem with it. But comes along with Kiva Eiger, and he says, no, you would be allowed to fold your talis after, let's say, the way Yontif would fall out. Yontif, let's say, would be the second day of Yontif would be on Friday. You would be allowed to fold your talis for Shabbos. This is quite a quandary, right? Let's say Yontif Sheni Shel Galus, right? Here, it's such a nice quiz, trivia question. How do you have a case? Let's say Yontif fell out Thursday and Friday, the 2 days of Yontif. Shabbos, and right after, you have a 3-day Yontif, you have Shabbos right after. So on Thursday, you wouldn't be able to fold your talis for Friday. But Friday, you could fold your talis for Shabbos. And don't tell me it's a 2-day rule. After 2 days, you know, then you can fold your talis. Nope. Kiva Eiger says one would be allowed to fold his talis on Friday of Yontif before Shabbos.
Why?
Why? Yes. Kiva Eiger has a beautiful idea. You know why? Because the Kedusha of Shabbos is greater than the Kedusha of Yontif. So if I'm downgrading or on the same plane, Yontif to Yontif, so for sure, Yontif to Chol, okay? You know, that's downgrading. You can't do Achana from a holy day to a non-holy day, or maybe even to appear. But to go up in Kedusha, Pumferkeret, that's a Maila of Kedusha Shabbos. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, this is the only place I saw this Rabbi Akiva Eiger. I have yet to find anyone who makes another application of this, but L'chara, there's room. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, one will be allowed to fold their talis on Friday afternoon, so it should be nice and folded come Shabbos, because the Kedusha of Shabbos is greater than the Kedusha of Yontif.
The obvious question is, so why doesn't that apply to any Yontif Sheni into Shabbos for any kind of a Achana?
Why do you need Neir Tavshil?
Ooh, so Erev Tav Shilin, good point. L'chor, this Rebbe Akiva Eiger is not talking, right? Let's say we would get past the malacha, any malacha issues here. We're not talking about malacha, l'chor only talking about tircha. So you're going to need your Erev Tav Shilin because that's involving malachas. But if it's just pure lower level, like the Mishavura talked about before, some tircha issue, that Rebbe Akiva Eiger is saying, hey, look, you know what? For tircha, it's a greater cover for Shabbos. Right.
You still have a stira between the Erev Tav Shilin now and the Mechaber.
Why?
Mechaber says it's Asur to prepare the first
No. Hagufa, that's Erev Tav Shilin helps you for. You're right. Right. So there wouldn't be a heter. Right?
No.
He's qualifying it. Yeah, the whole halacha is, 100%. Okay, I wasn't sure he was going that way. We don't necessarily use the Erev Tav Shilin for everything. Certain things we say in the Erev Tav Shilin, what's going on, can't just, it's not a carte blanche heter. But that is, Erev Tav Shilin is his own share, which I think Rabbi Sharfman did. But I'll tell you this, one quick thing might come out according to this Rabbi Akiva Eiger, is maybe one might be allowed to wash the dishes for Shabbos. It's only an issue of tircha. Normally we don't do it, but if Kavod Shabbos is greater, we'll be allowed to. Huh? Oh? What about rolling a Sefer Torah for Shabbos? Greater Kedusha of Shabbos. Bigger Parshios on Shabbos, most of the time. So perhaps it might be another Nafka Mina. Excellent. But again, I have yet to see this. For the record, there is, I believe, an Elia Rabba who argues with this from Kivager. So I don't know necessarily it's Moskva Makal. But it's definitely a beautiful yisod. You see how Rabbi Akiva Eiger looks, judging, Shabbos and Yontif. You know, in some ways, we're mechabed Yontif more than Shabbos, right? Yeah, there's an Indian on Yontif to have, greater food than you would have on Shabbos. But in terms of pure Kedusha, it's the opposite. In terms of Kedusha, Shabbos outranks Yontif. And therefore, Kivager says, you know what? You could do things to prepare for Shabbos. Okay? Very interesting idea.
Does it make any difference if you fold your tallis backwards?
Yeah. Well, a person folding his tallis backwards would definitely not have any, malacha type issues involved. And, the Hakana thing depends what people say. But, many people do that. Now, just a couple more areas, I call the parameters of the Isser of Hachana. Can I utilize Amir La'akam to get around the problem of Hachana? What would you say? Can I get a guy, right? I can't prepare. It's one thing I explain to your guy. I'm not allowed to do these malachas. Oh my gosh, we just had a problem in Yeshiva the other week. There's no torn toilet paper. So someone went over to one of the custodians who work in the yeshiva and told him the problem. He's like, Rabbi, that's not my job. It's not my problem.
Not my job.
He says, it's my problem. That's why I'm asking you to do this. He says, it's not part of my job. He says, I'm not asking you to do this as your job. I'm asking you to do this because you're a non-Jew. Didn't help. They didn't get it. But can you utilize the Isser, can you utilize Amir al-Akam for just to get off Isser al-Khana? Is that allowed? So there seems to be a diuk in the Mishabura, Simin Shin Yud Tes, Sivkatan Samach Beis, where there the Mishabura talks about an Isser of Hachana and only matters it in the following scenario. Where it's shvus to shvus, the makom hefsed. But short of that, if it wouldn't be Amir la'akam b'ayah d'rabbanan, but also in a case of a hefsid, Chafetz Chaim threw in the hefsid aspect. It's mashma, if you wouldn't have any hefsid involved, you wouldn't be able to utilize Amir la'akam, even though it's only for an Isra HaChana. So this shows the strength of how strong that Isra HaChana is. It's not just, we said, on Malacha, it's also on Tircha, it's also for rolling a Sefer Torah, it's also on Tzarech Mitzvah, and it's not an Isra that could be easily budged by Amir la'akam. If the parameters of Amir la'akam are Makam, Hefsid, you're allowed to use Amir la'akam, fine. But don't just say, oh, it's only an Isra HaChana, I could use a guy to do HaChana for me. Not so simple. Not so simple. Right? You know, these areas, you know, these things really come up, you know, in shuls a lot of times, like for setting up, you know, for that, they're having an event at night and they need more different things. Okay, so you have to know, you know, not everything is a chana. I'll give you one example of that. This is definitely very common. You know, I've seen this in my days. You know, when you first get married, you do crazy things, like spending yontif, splitting it between two sides. Once you get older, then it's like, okay, if you're going to go away for yontif, you're just plopping in one spot. It's too many kids, too many suitcases. Too many moving parts, exactly. The problem with kids, sometimes they don't move. But I remember, you know, my in-laws would be in one side of Flatbush for some yontif. My parents would be on the other side. So I remember going in between. It was like usually a half hour walk. We'd walk down Ocean Parkway, and sometimes it'll be yontif. You take like a little suitcase along. You're going down the streets. Tons of young couples just like you going back and forth up Ocean Parkway in Flatbush. Is that allowed? Hachana, I'm walking over there. Preparing for yontif. So I saw him brought down Beferish. Post can say that's not a problem. Not a problem. Well said for Mother's Day. Yes, Shalom Bayis, Shalom Parents, Shalom Mothers. It's all included. No, but Stam, that wouldn't be included in Hachana. Not everything is Hachana. Oh, you're walking, okay? It happens to be, yes, you're walking to destination and this. But maybe you can challenge me about the bringing along the suitcase. You never know when I might need my pajamas. But, yeah, Lamaisa, that wouldn't be a problem. Now that we know, I guess, the basic parameters of Hachana, what about, Yontif is finished. I waited, I'm not going to get into exactly how much time one needs, you know, to do Malacha or Hachana after Yontif. Okay, everyone has different time periods. They wait, you know, 45, 50, 60, 72, hopefully nothing more than that. But, right, different times that people wait to do things after Yontif. So you're ready to do things after Yontif. Would you have to recite, let's say all you're doing right now is Hachana things. You're preparing for now the second day of Yontif. If I'm going to cook, and we didn't make Havdalah yet. So we know, you instruct your wife, tell people, you have to say, Baruch HaMavdol Ben Kodesh L'chol, and then do what you need to do. Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. Right. But what happens for Hachana? Does one have to recite Baruch HaMavdol Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh before they do Hachana for the second day of Yontif, let's say? So, once again, there's seemingly a clear diak in Mishabura. Mishabura and Simon Reis Sadi Tess, Sivkat Alam Avav, says you do Havdalah before you do Malacha. He doesn't mention anything about Havdalah before you do Hachana. Now, is that a crackerjack diak? I'm not sure. It's totally mukrach. Right, he's talking about the average case, the malacha. It couldn't mean maybe you need it for Hachana too. But the simple reading of the Mishnah Berurah, I do hear, he doesn't say anything about Tircha of Arachana. And there's the Mat Ephraim who says it's Beferish, that one would not need to say Baruch HaMavdol when it comes to just doing Hachana. However, Rav Shlomo Kluger writes in his Sefer that one should say Baruch HaMavdol even before doing Hachana. I said before, the Mishnah Berurah may not be crystal clear on this. So I suppose can say, it makes a lot of sense. It's not a big deal. Just uttering the words. So some posts can advise, you want to be Yotzei Chol HaDeos, don't just say your Baruch HaMavdol before you do Malacha. If you happen to be doing Hachana too, one should also say that, and then do it. All good? Yes?
Anything gained by saying, I have Hachana and I have Malacha. So if I'm going to say Baruch HaMavdol Kodesh, I might as well do Malacha.
No.
And I don't have a question about Hachana.
That I haven't heard. I hear people go the other way. People try to ask, you know, okay, we wait X amount of minutes for doing Malacha. Could I cheat? You know, let's say I wait 72 minutes before I do Malacha. Could I cheat and after 50 do Hachana? That, ask your local posik. Now, do we say Hachana is the same for the ending, for the starting time or not? Or do we say for Hachana, maybe that you could be Mekel. So ask your local posik. Now, I want to get to the freezer case. Fact, when someone heard about my topic for a share, first thing he said, he's like, you know, recently I heard something weird about taking stuff out of the freezer. So to that guy, David, I'm addressing with this part of the share. You hear this, Harvey? Make sure the guy gets the message. So, you know, practically speaking, people keep, you know, Baruch Hashem, people have quite a few ice boxes nowadays. In the average home, I don't know, people usually have a decent amount of freezer space. They always want more. I'm lucky. I have two freezers inside my house, two freezers in my shed, and my wife says it's still not enough. But Lamaisa, so with me, my wife is always taking things out of the freezer. So I asked her before I get to share, I said, Nu, what do? Do you take things out of the freezer, you know, before the second day of Yontif? She's like, no. Okay. So that is Pashup Shat the Halacha. Where Shlomo Zalman Orbach writes his Beferish. Rav Yashuv writes his Beferish. Of course, that's Hachana. You're taking out this nice frozen block of meat. Chas v'shalom, someone got hurt. You want to put ice on someone's head. Fine. That's different. But you're taking out this block of defrosting meat. Something like that, 100%, you know, that's Isser Hachana. And thus, one would not be allowed to do that. However, I'll start going, there are Rabbanim who give Heterim. And I'll start listing where their heterim come from. So there's a Chaya Adam. Chaya Adam is actually brought in the Mishnah Berurah and the Sha'ar Tzion that we have right over here. When Chafetz Chaim wrote that you can't bring wine from one for your, to your neighbor from day, you know, on day one of Yontif, they might only use on day two. So if you look in the Sha'ar Tzion, Sivkatim Beis, he writes, Ayin ba'achronim kamon, simen tavrei saman. Zayin, v'achai yodim b'chlal, tzarichez v'kufnum beiz, mater b'zeh b'shasat chak. He would allow one to bring things b'shasat chak. Shasat chak, one would be allowed to do something which is not hachana on a malacha. It's just on a tircha. Especially the Chayyadim writes for a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? Everything's under the general clause of Simchas Yontif. It's bigger than the First Amendment. Right, Simchas Yontif. Simchas Yontif right? Oh, I want my meat. I don't want to eat no frozen meat. I want my meat defrosted. So that's good Simchas Yontif. So, okay. So there are poskim that say, utilize the Chai Adam, the Chavetz Chaim brought anyway, Shas Adchak, one would be allowed to take out your frozen meat. So the wife, therefore her husband's not eating frozen meat. Simchas Yontif, that'll be allowed. Lemaisa, just off the bat, that might be a good heter, Bishas Hadchak. She forgot to take it out. And okay, you need to cook it before Yontif. It's not going to be cooked. It's going to be frozen. But to do that lechachila, to do that ahead of time, to rely on doing that, not so simple. Especially, I saw Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes a very simple etza, which probably many people who work in kitchens know this. To defrost meat, you don't have to take it out hours before. You could put it on something hot. That'll help the defrosting process. You could put it in water. That could help it. Okay, I know we have experts in kitchens. I don't know what they do to defrost, depending on how big the meat is and how easy. Okay, but there are etzes that one could do after Yontif, we could still help the process. But if a person is stuck, Poskim straight up uses Chai Adam to say one could defrost meat. Again, others argue. Rabbi Yaakov would say it's better not to do that. That's heter number one. Heter number two is the Sefer Nitoi Gavriel, Gavriel Zinner. And he brings a marshag, which is an achron, and he says flat out, this wouldn't be an Isser of Achana. He says, what's the Isser of Achana? If you look, it's on the bottom of your sheets. The Yisod Isser Achana who bedavar shayachol lasos b'chol. Part of the whole Isser of Achana, the rabbis don't want, hey, we don't want Erev Yontif, you to be partying, you to be going out, because on Yontif, I'm going to cook. No. Erev Yontif, no chomoy trips. Erev Yontif, you should be cooking for Yontif. And, okay, whatever can't be done, okay, you do it later. But part of the whole basis of the Isra Achana, according to the Marashag, is we don't want you to push off things to do on Yontif. So therefore we say, there's an Isra Achana, you can't do it on Yontif, you have to do it before. But that's only by something which I could have done yesterday. Right? When it comes to meat, something, when am I going to defrost it? I have to defrost it now. Have to defrost it right before. So mamela, there should be a heter. That's a second potential heter. Not just shas and chak, but this even l'chachila. The isra achana was only made so to stop me from doing things on Erev Yontif. Pushing off from doing things in Erev Yontif, pushing it onto Yontif. But where the action of Achana you're doing is something I couldn't do beforehand, so in that case, one would be allowed to do it on Yontif. Again, there are poskim that would challenge such a thing. I believe this Nitoi Gavriel is clearly argued on by Magen Avram. So again, not so simple to rely on that. But here's the third heter, straight out of Lakewood. If Shmuel Felder, Chashev Aposik from Lakewood, has a sefer, and he has a third trick, third heter for defrosting meat, even l'chachila. Yes. This is a nice lamnishim heter. He says, woman can take before Yontif all the pieces of meat that she's going to use on Yontif and put it in one plastic bag. Tie it together, one plastic bag in your freezer. Then, when you take out the meat that you're cooking on first day of Yontif, in the bag is the meat you're going to use for tonight. It's one thing. I'm allowed to take it all out of the freezer together. It's all in one bag. So I take it all out. I cook the meat, which I need for today. And lo and behold, I have the meat I'm going to need tonight, already in the same bag, out, put on the floor. Obviously, it sounds like a nice lamdasha heter. Okay? Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Elyashiv were just as lamdish as some other people, and they did say it's usher. You know, I think with these halachas in general, you know, it is a perfect area where things will come up, and that's why we have a thing called Ask Your Local Rav, especially when it comes to Yom Tov Rabbanim, you know, get a lot of these shailas, and rightfully so. You know, people, you know, there's a lot about Yom Tov, and, you know, part of the times you ask a shaila because you want to make sure that you're doing it the right way, not just doing it because it's more convenient, because it'll work out better. But either way, I think what emerges from today's share is hopefully we have a better picture of the Isser of Achana, which we said before is applicable really every Shabbos. But in a practical sense, might be more relevant when there's a lot going on in our kitchens come Yom Tov with our Heter of Ochel Nefesh to cook. And we saw how far the Isser goes, not just Malacha, Tircha, even by mitzvah cases, even with Amir La'akum. And this last case of the freezer issues show us, you know, a balance. You know, different poskim take this Isser to different extents. How far do you have to go to Aser? Can you use this heter, this shtick, this Eitzah to get around it? So, but either way, I think the ideas that we saw, you know, not just Rabbi Kiva Eger's idea, but this other idea that, you know, Chazal want our Yom Tov to be as relaxed as possible. You know, don't just push off things till Yom Tov. Try have everything prepared. And when Yom Tov comes, even if there is a heter of Ochel Nefesh and there is cooking, we don't spend our whole Yom Tov inside the kitchen or inside the kitchen washing dishes. Thank you very much for listening. Hope to see everybody next week. But if not, have a wonderful Yom Tov.